thanks to you. And today I attend to the Word of God. I consent and I submit to your sayings, Lord, because your words are life. Amen? Hallelujah. His words are life. Thank you, Lord. You could be seated. Thank you, Lord. Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. And then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. Jeremiah had had it. He was prophesying. He was a preacher. He was tired of church. I'm not doing it anymore. They're a bunch of hypocrites. Who cares? All they want is your money. Everybody's looking at what everybody else is wearing, what they're driving, who's with who. Now, that's not in there, but I kind of slipped it in there. So Jeremiah said, I quit. There's not a preacher in America that haven't said that. There's hardly a Christian that haven't said that. Because by and large, we've had it with church. It's a waste of time. It's phony. It's impotent. It's boring. And nothing changes. That's what he said. It's in the Hebrew. And then there's that three-letter word, but, which negates everything he just said. But his word was in my heart like a burning fire, shut up in my bones, and I was weary of holding it back, and I could not. This prophet wasn't simply gifted with insight into the Bible. He was swayed by the might of it. You see, we've gone to church for so long, we forget the manual. We forget the book. We've created our own culture outside of the Word of God, thinking that this is the kingdom. It's time to cross over. And I just pray that today every person under the hearing of my voice would cross over. You see, the Word of God became Jeremiah's master. He didn't hold to the truth. The truth held him. You and I can't hold to morality. We can't hold to truth. Truth has to get a hold of us. And once ignited, once his heart was set on fire, the word will burn inside of a man or a woman until we have discharged the mission that it brought to our heart or the change that it demands. It will burn. And this is why today our hearts are not on fire. Because the fire demands the mission. The fire demands the change. And so we have a generation of people who have created a culture outside of the Word of God. And it has become boring, irrelevant, impotent. It has become phony, hypocritical. It's become lackluster. And that's why people choose to stay in bed on Sunday morning, even with an extra 60 minutes. Because to be honest with you, who really cares? But there's a crossover. There's a crossover. There is a crossover of people who have said to themselves and are saying to everyone around them, I am going to return to the Word of God. It will be like fire shut up in my bones, and I will not relent until my heart is inflamed with God's purpose for my life. In Hebrews 12 and 29, the Bible says that God, our God, is a what? Consuming fire. When we come to the house of the Lord, you should witness that fire. When you come to church, you ought to feel the fire. You ought to feel the heat. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 7, Bible says this, that God makes His ministers a flame of fire. If your minister's not on fire, he's not a minister. Ooh, that was good. I like that. Because God said He makes His ministers a flame of fire. If you're ministering in the kingdom, you ought to be on fire. If you're not ministering with fire, then you're not a minister. Luke 12 and 49, Jesus said this, I came to send fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. Jesus said, I came for one purpose, and to start a fire. I came to start a fire. Where? In the hearts of men, in the hearts of women, in the hearts of children. And oh, how I wish it was already kindled. He said, I want to see the hearts on fire of my church, of my children, of my people. I want to see them on fire. That's why I came. Israel was introduced to God's word in fire. Hebrews 12 tells us the mountain was consumed by fire. And they trembled. Because the word came out of fire. That's how Israel was introduced. But church, can I suggest to us this morning that we as a kingdom culture in this age, a church culture in this age, we have desired the light, but we resist the heat. We are so thankful for the light it brings, but we keep our distance because we don't like the heat. We've grown accustomed to the flame. It's comforting. It's beautiful. But we're uncomfortable with fire. Because a flame can be contained in a glass. But when fire breaks out, there is no containing it. There is no controlling it. It controls it. It will overwhelm wherever it is. It will consume everything. So we put them in glass containers. Some traditions have red glass containers. Others have long candles with gold trim. And oh, how we love the flame. But I said, God, I'm tired of the flame and I'm tired of the light. Turn up the heat and give me the fire of your presence and of your glory. In Jeremiah 23 and verse 29, Jeremiah went on to say, is not my word like a fire? God speaking, is not my word like a fire? Let me tell you something. When you and I read this word, it ought to burn in our souls. It is like a fire. And John prophesied that Jesus would baptize in the fire of the Holy Spirit. Matthew chapter 3. And verse 11, church today, families today, individuals today, people living like the Gadarene lived, suicidal. in the east location of which I will leave this platform and go to preach in a few minutes. A man was sitting in the second row last week who had attempted suicide 4 times. I'm not talking about a drug addict. I'm not talking about an alcoholic. I'm talking about a professional. I'm talking about a doctor who had reached the end of his limit and for the 4th time was in the hospital after attempting suicide. He was cutting himself with sharp rocks. There are people today that their only hope is to meet the Word of God, the eternal Word of God, like this Gadarene did, and suddenly he was in his right mind. Suddenly he was clothed. Suddenly now he had peace in his heart. You can have this peace today. But let me say this to the nominal Christian. Let me say this to those who have been dabbling in the faith. Don't dabble. You'd be better off running away from God, leaving the church, leave the Word, then dabble. Because if you dabble, you will be miserable. If you dabble, you will be tormented. If you dabble, you'll know enough to condemn yourself and never experience freedom. But oh, those who are embracing fully the eternal Word of God today, and fire is shut up in their bones like Jeremiah, are experiencing a liberty and a freedom in the kingdom of God. And they have crossed over. They've turned their back on their former manner of life. And they are embracing fully the kingdom culture in this age. We need this fire today in the church because we're in desperation. You see, fire melts. It melts icy coldness. Fire. It melts hard indifference, waxed over thinking. It melts the stubborn self-will. This is why the enemy will attack you greater in this area than in any other area. Keep you out of the Word. And keep the Word out of you. Because once you get in the Word and the Word begins to get in you, that fire is ignited in your heart. And begins to melt the icy coldness away from your life. We need this fire today because it is a kindling. The fire of God will begin to awaken affections for the kingdom of God that today you're not experiencing. Did you know you have an insatiable desire for the presence of God in you? Did you know that inside of you God has planted a desire that cannot be fulfilled in anything else in this entire world except in the very presence of a living God? Did you know that God has placed these things within each of us? But until the fire comes, those affections will not be awakened. That's why we must build the fire today. We must build a fire in our worship. We must build a fire in our preaching. We must build a fire in our prayer. We must build a fire in our holiness. This fire not only melts and kindles, but it consumes, destroying all in me that can be destructible, Lord. Anything that's destructible, destroy it. Shake anything, oh God, that's loose in my life. Your loose lips, your loose living, your loose relationships, shake them! Everything that can be shaken, shake them. Anything that can be broken, break it. Anything, oh Lord, that can be destroyed, destroy it. Because I know that what's left will be the eternal living Word of God in me. That's what fire does. In 1 Kings chapter 18, 33, Elijah was on the mount called Carmel. He was about to challenge the prophets of Baal. He said, let's see which God will send down fire. What did he have to do? He had to rebuild the altar. The altar represents the heart of man. The altar represents the heart of man. The altar represents your heart. You see, the first thing that has to be rebuilt in our life is our heart. That's why we say if you give your heart to Jesus, you got to give your altar to God. He rebuilt the altar. You can rebuild your altar today. How? By confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord, that He died on the cross for you and your sin. Confess and believe in your heart that He's been raised from the dead. You rebuild your altar. And when you do that, the Bible says that Elijah laid wood down upon that altar. In Luke 23 and 31, Jesus refers to Himself as a green tree. He refers to Himself as the wood. In Proverbs 26 and verse 20, the Bible says, where there is no wood, the fire goes out. Where there is no wood, the fire goes out. The wood that was laid on the altar of Elijah's altar was the Word of God. The wood, Jesus. John chapter 1, in the beginning was God. He was with God, and God became flesh. It was oneness. There was oneness with God, and He became the Word of God, became flesh. You see, when you lay the Word of God upon your heart, something happens to a man, something happens to a woman. Because where there's no Word, there's no fire. You cannot have fire in your life without the Word of God. You can't do it. Oh, I go to church, I pray. That doesn't work. Prayer is not wood. The Word of God is likened unto the wood. And it was laid in order on the altar, on his heart. I'm reminded of Romans 12 and verse 1. I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice. You and I cannot present our bodies as a living sacrifice without wood. Wood was necessary to burn the sacrifice, to consume the sacrifice. Without wood, there would be no fire. Without fire, there was no consuming of the sacrifice which was being offered to God. When fire does not go up, fire will not come down. Do you hear me, church? Until fire goes up, fire will not fall. It takes a fire on the altar of a man's heart in order to draw down fire from heaven. Luke 24 and verse 49, Jesus spoke to His disciples. He said this, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. You know what that was? That was wood. That was a delivery of wood to the disciples. It was the Word given to the disciples. And what did they do with that wood? That Word came to them. Jesus spoke the Word. He said, I want you to go to Jerusalem. I want you to be endued with power from on high. But they had a choice. They could either put the wood on their heart, or they could leave the wood stacked in the backyard up against the fence for a cold day, for when they might need it. Or they could put it in the hearth of their own spirit and ignite it with their confession of faith. And this is what occurred. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 1, they took this word. And it says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Watch this. They took the wood, put it on their heart, and they began to come together. They began to act in obedience to what they heard. And when they acted in obedience to what they heard, we know that the Bible said that tongues cloven, tongues of fire fell. That must mean they took the word and they ignited the wood with their confession of their faith and with their prayers of faith, and it ignited and fire went up and fire came down. Some have asked me, why did it take 10 days? Why did it take 10 days? Maybe it took 10 days to start the fire. Maybe we need a bonfire. Maybe we need a little more than a campfire. Maybe more than just a flame. I don't know about you, but I'm a little tired of church with just one little flame contained in a religious glass. Some kind of a containment that keeps us safe. Not too much heat, not too much light, just ambience in the church. Give me a semi-tractor trailer of the driest, most inflammable piece of wood that you can bring. Load it here. Get it through this door. Build it on this platform and around this altar. Somebody get a light. Somebody get some kerosene. Somebody ignite it. And let's send a fire that every person in this world would begin to see burning from Lorain, Ohio, that there is the fire of God's presence. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 31, they had received the word of God and they went together. It tells us when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Notice this is how you ignite the word in your heart. You've got to get a word and then you have to pray that word. You get a word, you pray that word. You get a word, by His stripes I am healed. Father, I thank You in the name of Jesus that by Your stripes I am healed. Whoosh. Suddenly now my heart is aflame because I have prayed the word of God. That is the flint. That's the flicker of the flint. That's the ignition that's required to get the wood burning. What are you saying about your life? What are you saying about the word of God? What are you confessing? What are your prayers? Are your prayers, oh me and oh my? Or are your prayers, thus saith the Lord? God has spoken, and if He has spoken it, it shall come to pass. God declared it, then it shall be. I'm standing upon the word of God. I'm tired of going to church in and out the same as I came and the same way I'm leaving. I'm believing that now we're going to see the fire of God fall and our lives never be the same. They were acting in obedience. They were speaking and proclaiming. What was the result? Cloven tongues of fire and a shaking. Do you want a holy visitation this morning? Do you want a holy visitation? You and I, if we want a holy visitation, I mean, my God, what would we do if Jesus really showed up in our church? Eyes of fire. Hair like wool. What would we do? Feet brass. The word of God upon his vestment. The sword of the God's word protruding forth from His mouth. See, when I say Jesus, most of us think of the little Jesus that's been depicted by the religious mindset of the effeminate, weak, skinny Jesus. Two men that were walking in the same direction, much like you and I. They had gone to church for a while, man. They were there. They were in Jerusalem. They were hanging out with Jesus for 3.5 years. They had all the hopes that everything was going to change. But guess what? Nothing changed. They gave money. They even gave lots of money. But you know what? They lost their jobs after they gave money. They thought, phooey on this. This doesn't work. Came to church. Their kids went in rebellion. Came to church, our life came crashing down. They said, you know what, I'm leaving this. And the two disciples that were with Jesus walked out of Jerusalem and were on their road to Emmaus. They said, you know what, I've had it with church because it's a bunch of hypocrites. It's phony, it's baloney, it's impotent, it's not responsible, it's not changing lives. I quit. And they walked out. But in Luke 24, verse 27, they had to get some wood back on their hearts. Some of you need to get some wood back on your hearts. I pray to God that if you're here today as a friend and you used to attend church and you've drifted away, I understand why you've drifted away. But listen, you can be filled with the fire of God if you'll embrace the word of God and put it in your heart. God began to speak to these two disciples on the road away from the church. God's speaking to you today. He's saying, I'm expounding to you all the scriptures from the very beginning concerning Himself. Jesus was giving them wood. Jesus was putting wood on the altar of their hearts. And in verse 32, the Bible says in Luke 24, that as he began to share this, they later said this, did our hearts not burn within us while we talked with him on the road, while he opened the scriptures to us? There's something about scripture being opened up to us. It causes a burning in our heart. It causes a burning in our spirit. That's why in the middle of preaching, when there's the fire of God upon a preacher, you'll begin to feel a stirring in your hearts. If your altar has been repaired, God's word will be ignited. And you'll begin to feel the burning inside of you. That yes, this is real. Yes, this is truth. Yes, I must respond to God. Luke 24 and verse 35. They began to create this fire through intimacy with Jesus. And they told about the things that had happened on the road. And he was known to them by the breaking of bread. He wants to break the word down from logos to rhema to you. He wants to take it from a general word to a specific word. God has a word for you, sir. Ma'am, God has a word for you. He has a word for your situation. He'll break the bread if you'll sit down and become intimate with him for just a few moments. And in verse 36, they began to proclaim it. I love this portion of the scripture. I wish I had an hour just to preach these three verses. But in verse 36, they came back to the disciples. And they said these things, Jesus. And now as they said these things, what were they telling the disciples? Hey, we've got to tell you what God did. We've got to tell you about the fire in our hearts. We've got to tell you. We've got to proclaim. We've got to speak. We've got to declare. I've got to let you know that Jesus Christ is coming again. I've got to let you know that Jesus changed my life. I've got to let you know that he can heal. He can save. He can deliver. He can set free. I've got to tell you. They began to tell the disciples all that they had experienced. What happened as a result, church? Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, peace to you. You want a holy visitation? Do you want Jesus to show up in your marriage? Do you want Jesus in your life? Do you want Jesus in your children? Do you want Jesus in your department, in your church, in your worship, in your preaching? Then you've got to begin to proclaim, declare, speak the word that God has laid on your heart and send up a fire into heaven. When they did that, Jesus showed up. Oh, church, listen. There are too many of us speaking the word. There are too many of us laying out the wood. Oh, I'm sorry if you don't like the heat. It's too late. It's too late. Why? Because the fire has already begun to fall upon our hearts here today and this morning and this last month and these last years. And I'm telling you, it's not going to get cooler. It's going to get hotter. I'm telling you, it's not going to become a flame contained in a glass, but it's going to be a fire that's going to be consuming men, women, boys and girls, youth groups, children's ministry, worship services, preaching, laying hands upon the sick, evangelism. The church is being revived by the fire of God. The fire has to fall. It has to fall because the fire is going up. It has to fall because the fire is going up. Join us today. Come on, join us today. Cross over. Stop standing on the sidelines and watching. Come on, join us. This isn't the Gund Arena. This isn't the Ringling Brothers show. Come on now. This is the kingdom of God in which you and I can begin to call upon the name of the Lord and fire will fall from heaven. First Kings 18, 33-35 is a cool scripture because you know what it says? It says Elijah said, okay, now that the wood's there, go get me some water pots. And I want you to pour water on the wood. You say, well, that's the problem. People's wood is wet. In this particular context, the wood represents the word and the water represents the word. Ephesians 5:26, it's water, word is like water, like cleansing to our soul. He said, pour more word on the word. Pour more word on the word. You say, what should I be doing this week, Pastor? Pour more word on the word. He said, no, go do it again. And they dug a trench around the altar. And it began to fill up, pouring off the word. It began to run down the altar, run down our hearts. Began to fill up the trench. The trench reminds us of all of the circumference of our life. Everything that it entails. It began to fill up with the word, the word, the word. And he said, do it again, do it again. So a third time they did it again. And the water began to pour down the altar and upon the word that was already laid on that altar. And filled up the trench. And then they stood back. And they waited. And God answered with fire. Why so much word? Because you and I must reach flood stage. Write that down, saints of God. Flood stage. You know, oftentimes if you'll buy a home or you look for a piece of property, they want to know, is it in a flood zone? Is it prone to floods? Oh, I don't want that property. Give me that property, Lord. I want the flood zone. I want to live right where it's prone to flood. Why? Because Isaiah 59 and 19 put the comma in the right place. Watch this. Watch this. Isaiah 59 and verse 19 put the comma in the right place. It says this, when the enemy comes in, comma, like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Living water, living water. The Holy Spirit, the Word of God. The Spirit and the Word work together, church. And so I ask you this morning, give church a chance. I ask you this morning, give God a chance. Let Him be who He said He was. Get out of your minds. If I could get a big eraser, I'd come into your little brain and I'd erase all the religious thoughts that you have about who He is and who He isn't. And I say, give God another opportunity to show Himself strong. Get your Bible and begin to read it. Pour yourself into it as if your life depended upon it. And say, God, I've got to have this word on my heart because I believe that when I become intimate with You, that it's going to send fire up. And when fire goes up, fire has to come down. Church, it's our only hope. It's our only hope. People keep pressing me, keep pressing me. Who are you going to vote for? Who are you going to vote for? Who are you going to vote for? You need to, as the pastor, as the shepherd, you need to take a stand. You need to take a stand. I just did for the last 35 minutes. I took a stand. It's the Word of God. 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 It's not a party. It's not an ethnicity. It's not age. It's not black or white. Come on now. It's the Word of God. I am so weary of hearing commentators and Christians say it's all about the economy. Stupid. It's all about the economy, stupid. I want to run through my television and jump in there and grab around that little thing that hangs around their necks. What is that called? A necktie. Grab that necktie. And I want to say to them, it's not about the economy. It's all about the kingdom of God. It's about the Word of God. You know what? My God shall supply all my needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. It is about the kingdom of God. Look, I'd love to see a grandpa be president. I really would. I think that'd be cool. I'd love to see the first black American president. I'd love to see that. But not either of them for the expense of the Word of the living God. I cannot. So I've decided today I'm voting for Troy Thompson for president. Say this with me. Father, according to your word, it's your desire that I prosper and be in health, even as my soul prospers. Now say it with a lot of enthusiasm. Are you ready? I delight in your word. Therefore, I shall be like a tree planted by the streams of water. I will bring forth fruit in everything I do. I will prosper. Thank you, Lord, for abundance and the overflow in my life. I declare that today with you, and I wanted you to declare that with me today, because I don't care what they're saying about Lorain or Lorain County or Ohio or manufacturing or the stock market or their 401ks or where Ford Motors going or GM or anybody else. I'm telling you, I'm not hooked up to the economy of this world. I declare that I shall prosper and be in health even as my soul prospers, and I'm living in abundance. You're here today and you don't know whether you'd go to heaven or hell should you die today. Should this week I be presiding over your funeral or some clergy, I'm going to ask you now to make that decision and make that choice. Altar ministers are gathering around this altar, and we're asking you this morning. You say, young man, young woman, listen, you may have lots of days. You may have lots of days. You say, I've got lots of days. Did you know the average man, listen to this, the average man has 3,900 Saturdays in their life. If you're 55 years of age or older, you've got 1,000 left. If you're over 75, you're out of days. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to the store and buy me some marbles. I'm going to get about 800, 900 marbles, because that's what I've got left. And every Saturday, I'm going to take one out of the jar and say, thank you, Jesus. I'm one marble closer to heaven. My friend, if you think you're going to live forever, you are mistaken. If you've not received Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, do it today. The Bible says, today is the day of salvation. In a moment, we're going to stand up. You say, Pastor, I need prayer this morning because I want to live right for God. Pray for me. If that's you, when we stand, I want you to walk from where you're seated and join one of these men or women around this altar, and let us pray before you lose all your marbles. Are you ready? Come on, this is your opportunity. Are you ready? Come on, stand up. Come on, meet us at this altar. Come on, church, encourage them. Yeah, come on, encourage them. Woo! Yeah, come on, encourage them. Come on, you need prayer. Come on, come on. Come on, you need to come. Yeah. Woo! Come on, come on, come on. Yeah, come on. Woo! Come on home. Yeah. Woo! Come on, come on. Now, if you brought a friend, look over at him and say, baby, are you right with God? Before you lose all your marbles, let's go talk to Jesus. Come on, bring him down for prayer. Come on, look at somebody and ask him. Come on, people are coming from all over the side, the front, the back. Hallelujah. Congratulations. Congratulations. Is there anybody else? Come on. Come on. We're waiting on you. All right. Thank you, sir. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you, buddy. Thank you. Oh, Lord, baptize us in the Holy Ghost and fire. Amen. Yeah, 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 yeah. Baptize us in the Holy Ghost and fire. Set our hearts on fire again, Lord. Come on, church, lift your hands up and just tell Him. Say, Lord, baptize me in your fire. Baptize me in your fire. Oh, baptize me in your fire. Holy Ghost and fire, Lord. Holy Ghost and fire, Lord. I need your fire. I need your fire. Baptize me in the Holy Ghost and fire. Baptize me in the Holy Ghost and fire. Jesus, have your way. Have your way. Thank you, Lord. Have your way. You make sure you live right. Love everybody. Pray hard. We'll see you on Thursday night. God bless you.